Welcome to Cheap Astronomy's Fantastic Physics Formulas, read by Barry Howarth. And this week's episode is Free Fall to a Center of Mass. A listener asked the question, how long would it take an object to fall into the Sun from one light year away? The answer to this question turns out to be a fantastic physics formula, which has been attributed to Arthur C. Clarke. In reality, it could just as well be attributed to Johannes Kepler, since it's really about the mathematics of an orbital system and the relationship between the distance of an object from the center of mass of an orbital system and the orbital period of that object. When we talk about something falling in towards something else, that's still an orbital system. The Moon is falling in toward the Earth. It's just falling at such an angle that it keeps missing and comes around again for another try. So if you do want something to fall straight into a center of mass, you need to adjust its orbit so that it will do exactly that. Kepler's third law of planetary motion says that the square of the orbital period of a planet around its star is directly proportional to the cube of the semi-major axis of its orbit. The semi-major axis of a circular orbit is its radius, while the semi-major axis of an elliptical orbit is half of the longest axis of its orbit. The actual formula for Kepler's third law is T, the period of the orbit, squared, equals 4 times pi squared times the semi-major axis cubed, divided by g, the gravitational constant, divided by the sum of the two masses in the orbital system. You can convert that formula into a formula that calculates the orbital period of an orbit that's a straight line between the falling object and the center of mass of an orbital system. That formula is T, the period of the fall, equals pi divided by 2 times the square root of 2, all times the square root of the semi-major axis squared divided by g, the gravitational constant, times the sum of the two masses in the orbital system. The main change to the standard form of Kepler's third law is that you've only got to measure the object's straight line fall in, but not its straight line return back, that would complete a full orbit. Anyway, using this variant form of Kepler's third law, if the two masses are the Sun plus the relatively inconsequential mass of the falling object, then the period of the fall from one light year works out to be 2.8 million years. We have to make a few assumptions to make this calculation work. Firstly, it is a two-body problem, and we are assuming nothing else will get in the way of the object that falls a whole light year into the Sun. This is entirely possible since space is so vast, but it's not guaranteed. What's less plausible is the situation in which an object has no independent motion of its own relative to the Sun, and just falls straight in. In reality, any objects falling into the Sun's gravity well will more likely spiral in, and hence have much more prolonged falls. Lastly, the falling object won't actually make it to the center of the Sun. It will be slowed by the corona and disintegrate well before that, but that's a tiny portion of its light year long fall. This free fall time formula that derives from the formula of Kepler's third law has broader uses. When you boil down the math, it works out that the period of a straight line fall from a set distance is always around 18% of what the orbital period of its circular orbit at the same distance would be. So, for example, given that the orbital period of the Earth is 1 year, and its orbit is roughly circular, then the straight line free fall time from the Earth's orbit into the Sun would be around 65 days, because 65 days is 18% of 1 year. The formula also has a number of applications in cosmology. For example, it can be used to estimate the time required for a dust cloud to collapse in on itself, perhaps to form a new star. It can also estimate the time required between the commencement of the core collapse of a massive star and its subsequent destruction in a supernova explosion. In both cases, the math only works if you assume the absence of any countering outward forces. But as a general approximation, it's not half bad. So in this episode, the title of Fantastic Physics Formula should really go to Kepler's third law of planetary motion. But we hope we've demonstrated here how you can take one formula and reconfigure it a bit so that it does quite a different job and does it well. Even if that's not fantastic, it is kind of useful.